If you have your Bible, would you turn with me to the book of Psalms? I had a friend of mine that came to the Lord, and he, like me, didn't know the pronunciation of all the terms and words in the Bible, not the Greek and Hebrew, just the English words, and he called it the Palms. He said, I was reading in the Palms, and I thought, that's all right. You keep on reading in the Palms. Amen. Psalm 145, 1 through 3, and verse 6. I want to talk to you about focusing on the greatness of God today. The scriptures say God is great, and He's greatly to be praised. Some of you may be the first as a Christian or as a child in a Christian home, you learned to pray. You began with over the food. I was staggered when my pastor first time asked me to stand up and pray over the service. I thought, I'm not even good at praying over food yet. Don't put me on the spot in front of a crowd to pray over a service. I was so scared. I don't even know what I said, and I probably said it wrong, but I said it from my heart, and I believe God honored it. Amen. I felt like crawling under the pew, but I felt like God honored the prayer because it was from my heart. First prayer I learned to pray over food, God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for this food. By His hands we all are fed. Give us, Lord, this daily bread. But it started out with God is great. God is good. And it sounds like such a simple statement, but it isn't. It's profound. It's not something the Bible tells us to pray that way over food, but the Bible tells us to look at God and know this about Him. God is great and God is good. In that goodness part, it's not like He's nice and He's kind and He's given and He's merciful. All that is true. But the goodness of God goes to His very character of purity, holiness, power, and love. Not the kind of love that we have. We have a love that is deep. It's a deep love. There where people will give their life for one another because of phileo, the kind of love that humans can have at its very best is called phileo. As a matter of fact, Philadelphia, by the way, it's called the city of brotherly love, but don't be out after midnight in certain parts of the brotherly love town. Amen. Some comedian said the other day, it said the bank that loves, the bank that wants to be your friend. He said, I was late on my car payment and my friend came and repossessed my car. So phileo love, friendship, deep friendships or maternal love, mother's love for a child or dad for a child or a wife. That's a powerful love. But God's love is beyond that. I understand that there was no word for God's love because it went beyond anything that the humans can imagine or give. And so the word agape was adopted for the divine love of God. So His goodness involves this that is beyond the human ability to give and to really understand except to receive it by faith. When we understand God is good, He is good. That's why Moses had a mouth-to-mouth relationship with Him. And he said, other prophets I will speak to in visions and dreams. Not so my servant Moses. With him I will speak to mouth-to-mouth. There was even a meeting place where just the two of them would meet for that purpose. No one else was invited. This is intimate. This is between me and Him. He's leading Israel. I'm going to lead Him. And I'm going to do it mouth to mouth. He's going to talk to me and I'm going to talk audibly back to Him. Wow. I want to know what's He got going. How did He ever get in that kind of relationship in the old covenant with God? And I believe I found the answer when it said about Moses, now among all the people of his generation, Moses was most meek. Meek. Meekness is not weakness, it's power under control. He bowed to the Lord in humility. When God called him to lead, the first thing he did was argue that I'm not worthy. I've got a speech impediment, and you want me to go talk to the most powerful ruler in the world and tell him to let your people go? I've got a speech impediment. He had kept sheep for 40 years. He said, all I am now is a shepherd. And you're telling me to lead your people out of bondage and to go tell the most powerful nation and powerful king in the world, let my people go? He said, well, I'll give you Aaron to do the talking. You tell him what to say, and he will do the talking. Sean come to help me unload the car. I was still praying in the car. Amen. And I said, I'll bring the TV if you'll take this. I just got a little more praying to do. He said, well, I'll take both of them. You keep on praying for the anointing to come. In other words, it's going to be a boring service. If God doesn't anoint you this morning, I don't want to sit through one of those boring services. I want to sense the presence of God in there. I love you, Sean. That's not what you meant. You wanted me to pray because I need an Aaron in type. I need the Holy Spirit to talk to me. I need him to talk through me. Moses was meek. He humbled himself before the Lord. And that's why God picked him. That's why the Bible said not many great men, not many mighty men, not many wise men are called. Why not? Because God's looking for someone that will depend on him completely. Not their education, not their ingenuity, not anything of themselves. Amen. That's why he picked Moses to become a mighty leader in Israel. That's why he picked David, the least of the sons of Jesse. He was the little kid they sent out to watch the sheep while they did the important stuff. And God said, I want him. I want him. I choose him. Amen. God is good. When Moses said, I want to see you, you're talking to me. That's not enough. I want to see you. Show yourself to me. He said, if I showed myself to you, you couldn't live. The glory because of the goodness would have just consumed him. But God wanting to reveal himself, wanting people to know him and not just keep him so far into the heavens and so mystical that we could never know him. He said, here's what I love this about the Lord. He wants us to know him, but they couldn't know him and see him. He's invisible, but he's viable. He's like the wind. You can't see the wind, but boy, when a hurricane comes, you'll know the wind is there, right? When God moves, he moves. So being invisible doesn't mean there's no power and there's nothing to it. No. So he said, I'm going to put you in the cleft of a rock and cause my goodness to pass by you. Why is goodness? Because it's the goodness of God that causes the glory, that supernatural, pure, powerful person of God that he wanted to reveal. And he did that. And Moses, you know what he saw? He saw a glimpse. And he said, God said, you can't see me coming. You'll have to peek when it goes by. He said, I'll show you my hinder part. I'll zip by you and let you get a glimpse because you won't even be able to see me come. It's going to be so fast. When he comes for his people, it's going to be in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye. A millisecond. Everybody say a millisecond. It's going to be that quick. You won't see him coming. They won't see us going. Amen. But they're going to miss us when we're gone. Can you say, man, they may not like us now, and they do not like us now, but they're going to miss us when they're gone. Because the Bible said the Antichrist can't come on the scene, and the tribulation can't manifest until he that letteth. There's something holding it back until God's time. Amen. Someone is holding it back until God's time. Ultimately, God in his sovereignty is holding it back, but he's holding it back through an agent. And it's not just the Holy Spirit, it's the church that is praying in intercession. Can you say amen? Thank God for Jesus today. I'm glad that I know him, and I want everyone that I meet to come to know him. Praise God. God is great, and God is good. Psalmist David said, I believe it's Psalm 27:13, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. We sing the song, Sweet By and By. We sing the song, Won't It Be Wonderful There, having no burdens to bear. Yes, it will. But until we get there, thank God for His goodness right here. David said, life would crush me. See, it's a universal need. Life would have crushed me unless I believed to see the goodness of God when I get to heaven, when I get home. No, that's a given. But I believe that God wants to help me right here, right now, right in my circumstance, right where I live. And David had many trials and many tests. And sometimes he got way down and he would speak to himself. He would say, soul, why are you disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for he shall yet be the health of thy countenance. I put it this way, he'll turn your frown upside down. How many know what an upside down frown is? You ever seen the smiley face? Oh, that is an upside down frown. Can you say, man, if you turn it over, it's a frown, right? How many use on your Facebook and stuff, or your phones, the little emblem of the grin and you got a frowny one? That's all a frown is, upside down smile. You can turn that around if you get your hope in the Lord. Amen. I don't just see long, hopeless faces in the world. I've been a pastor for almost 50 years. I've been looking out at people on Sunday morning for 50 years. I get a pretty good idea of what people are on top of it, or it's on top of them. Because the eyes of him that is joyful, your countenance, rejoices the hearts of others. That hope is a visible hope. It's not just something we talk about, teach about. It's something we live in our life. And it is absolutely how do I put this? You want to be a witness to the world about you. Live in this blessed hope that we have. Amen. Hallelujah. This great and good God that we serve. God is great. God is good. Focus on His greatness and His goodness. Mountains of circumstances, giants of opposition, Jericho walls of resistance bring anxiety, worry, doubt, and debilitating fear. And the only way to overcome it is to focus on the greatness and the goodness of God. The greatness and the goodness of God. I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Right down here in the nasty here and now, not in the sweet by and by. Let's read what he wrote. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 145, 1 through 3 and verse 6. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day, consistency here, listen, I will praise you. Every day, I will praise you. Every day, I will praise you. Does that mean on the good days when everything's going good, or does that mean even when it's going south and it's going bad? Every day, this was the consistency of his hope and the consistency of his faith. Amen. It showed in how he worshiped. He said, I don't just praise God when I got a windfall financially, or when I got a miracle of healing, or some great thing has happened and great prayer is answered. I don't even wait to see what kind of day it's going to be. I'm going to praise you every day. The Bible speaks of his consistency. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. That's a consistency. I wonder what would happen if God's people didn't wait for anything to change after we pray, so that he could change us after we pray, so that we could worship him because we have enough confidence in him, give him enough credibility for his goodness and his greatness, that we would praise him before we see anything happen. If you'd have been in the army that marched around Jericho, would you have shouted? when you were told to shout? Or would you say, I'm going to be real. I'm going to be honest. I don't see any change. We've been walking around this impregnable looking wall, this imposing wall, all these times, and nothing has happened. There's not a crack in it. There's no change. They're up there defying us. What good is this? We can't scale the wall. We can't get through the gates. And suddenly, Joshua is saying, shout. Why? He said, for God has given you the city. Amen. What? When he does it, I will shout. But I ain't shouting. I'm going to be honest. I don't even know for sure if he's going to give us a city. I don't even know if he's big enough to give us a city. Right now, it looks like we're not going to be able to conquer this city. And I'm told to shout because he has given me the city. Remember something about God. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Amen. Because he didn't consider his own body, now dead, 100 years old, when God told him it's time for a child to come through whom I'm going to bless so many children out of your union with Sarah. He said, I'm 100, and Sarah is 90. And Sarah had a double negative. She was not able to bear children as a young woman. And now she's past the age of childbearing. If she could have bore children. And God says, now I'm going to keep my promise to you. And Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Accounting that God was able, faithful and able, to do what he had promised to do. In spite of, he didn't even consider the fact that it's humanly impossible, scientifically impossible, biologically impossible. It didn't faze him. God, you said it, and you're good enough to keep your word, and you're great enough to bring it to pass. God is great. And God is good, and he's greatly to be praised, consistently. So, it says, because he considered, he knew this about God, that he calls the things not as though they were. He calls the things not as though they were. We call the things, in our way of thinking and working, down in this human world with all of its limitations, seeing is believing. In God's economy, believing is seeing. David said, I'd faint unless I believed to see. I wouldn't wait to see to believe. I believed to see. That's when faith is pure, and that's when faith is powerful. Can you say amen? If you're not going to mix faith with the word this morning, won't do you a bit of good. Israel in type and foreshadow said they had the word preached to them just like you're having it preached to you. The gospel in type and foreshadow of Christ. But it did not profit them. Not being mixed with what? Faith in them that heard it. If you hear the promise of God today and you don't lay hold of it by faith, you'll walk out depressed in spite of all God has to say to you. If you don't believe God has the power to do it for you and the love for you to release that power, you walk out of here depressed in spite of that acknowledgement. But if you mix faith with the word, something's going to happen. Amen. Either God's going to fail or something is going to happen. And if you keep your trust in him, God is not going to fail. You may not get the answer you want. You may not get it when you want it, but God is going to answer you. He may say yes immediately and do something. He may say no and say, this is not my will for this time. But he's going to answer you. And if he does say no, he's going to give you grace to do the third thing. Wait. Wait. Just hold on and wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord keep their trust in him consistently. Doesn't mean to take a number and sit down. It means it's not about that kind of patience. It's about perseverance. They that wait upon the Lord. It's not a passive word. It's an active word. They that wait upon the Lord shall stay down in spite of consistently trusting him and worshiping him. No, they shall mount up with wings as an eagle. I like to read some things about animals and eagles. And one thing I read about the eagle is he doesn't try to fly away from the storm. He knows what to do when those great storms come. He's designed for the heights. There's a locking mechanism in his wings. When he wants to soar without flapping, you see a lot of eagle saints don't know what to do. We have that ability because the Holy Spirit's in us to soar instead of, you know, being knocked down by every storm. There's a locking mechanism in his wings. He locks his wings and faces the wind. And the law of aerodynamics that lifts that big jet plane off the ground goes into play for the eagle. He knew it before the Wright brothers started fooling with it. Can you say amen? Amen. He locks his wings and faces the wind, and the wind that is so threatening lifts him higher and higher and higher. And there's some point in that storm when he is above the storm looking down at it. A place of peace, a place of rest. He's not trying to struggle through it. He's soaring. That's what it means when it said they that wait upon the Lord consistently lock our trust in Him. Amen. We will be. They will renew their strength. See, it's struggling against that wind instead of trusting God when that storm comes and locking our faith in Him. We're going to get tired. We're going to get weary. We're going to get wore thin. We're going to get wore down. We're going to get frustrated. We're going to question God and question our own faith. But if we can lock our faith in on Him, amen. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. You see him flapping. Amen. I want you to see him locked in and that storm lifting him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Somebody needs lifting up here today. And God needs your trust. And God needs your worship. And God needs your faith to do that for you. God needs you to praise him right in here and right now. Not when you see some change or feel different. If you don't know Jesus, God wants to help you. He wants you to know the one that can bring you to Him for the help that you need today. I'm glad I serve this God. But I've been standing up here. There was an old song as I hurry and close. I'm going to start the closing now because if I wait another 30 minutes, it'll take another 30 minutes. So I'm going to start closing now. I'm learning slowly but surely. Listen. Hallelujah. I love you today. I'm glad we're here together. I've been standing up looking at an audience for half a century. This coming January will mark 50 years of ministry. My youngest son was 14 months old when we came to pastor. Amen. He's going to be 51 in March coming up. So that would be 50 years that we have been in pastoral ministry, preaching the gospel. So I've been looking at audiences and I'm going to tell you, amen. It ain't pretty most Sundays. Nothing personal. You know why? Because we live in a faulty body. We live in a faulty body. And we live in a fallen world. And we have a formidable foe. Make no mistake about it. Satan wants your destruction and mine. The thief came to steal. He came to kill. And he came to destroy. And if he was left unchecked, that's exactly what he would do to every one of us. But Jesus says, but I have come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. Don't immediately. He will bless you financially without a doubt. Given it shall be given unto you. But this abundant life is something money can't touch and money can't buy. This salvation, this redemption, this forgiveness, this reconciliation to God so He can help us and deliver us. We were not redeemed, the scripture said, with corruptible things like silver and gold after the tradition of your fathers. Amen. If you pay a ransom to someone, silver and gold will set them free. We were not redeemed with silver and gold. something beyond that. It's the goodness of God, the grace of God manifest in Jesus Christ. We were redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. The innocent suffering for the guilty so the guilty could be pardoned, forgiven, and set free. And so God's helping grace could be granted to us. Every Christian should be a representation of that hope, that peace, that grace. We can't go around preaching to others about how good and great God is unless we're experiencing the goodness and greatness in our life, because it's not believable. They have a hard time believing it anyway. And when they see us, I'll toe up from the floor up. Can you say amen? It doesn't help our testimony. Did I feel conviction? Something made me very uncomfortable there for a moment. Listen to what he says. Listen, they'll run and not be weary. They will run, but they won't ever get tired. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. Sometimes when I get worried, anybody ever get worried? Did you know we're not supposed to? Because we have a God who says, call on me in the day of trouble, I'll deliver you, thou shalt glorify me. Be anxious for nothing. Anybody ever read Mad Magazine? I knew you did. You look like a guy that, you're not that old. Where did you get an antique copy of it somewhere? Oh, they kept it going for a while. You know what it was? It was a lampoon of movies and everything else. And they had a mascot. What was his name? Do you remember? He's this little guy. He looks goofy. You must be goofy if you've got any peace in Alfred E. Newman was their mascot. He was on the cover of every magazine. This crazy magazine. I just loved it. Like, almost like a comic book. You know, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, lampooned. And what they do, they the guys are outside, and instead of being in diving bells or scuba gear, they were outside with umbrellas and rain suits. So that was, so it was stupid. People think if you're not worried, you must be stupid. If you're not deeply concerned and toe up from the flow up, and here you are praising God, what are you praising Him for? Have you read the paper? Have you listened to the news? What's wrong with you? You must be stupid. So I'm not going to be stupid. I'm intelligent. I'm rational. I'm logical. I'm a Christian, but God's way up there. I don't know what He's doing, but He sure ain't doing much down here. Welcome to Sunday morning, when we put on everything very nice except this. Our countenance speaks, and it speaks volumes. Your countenance speaks. You don't have to tell me anything. I can take a look at people coming in. I hope you go out different. I'm not talking about a false face. I'm talking about getting hold of something that will change your perspective. Focus on the greatness of God, not the bigness of the problem. Focus on the goodness of God. Hallelujah. And wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord will mount up with wings as an eagle, lock their wings and face the storm in the full assurance. This storm is not going to slap me to the ground. This storm is going to lift me closer to God. Can you say, I can't believe I said that. That's just too good for me to say. He must have anointed it. Can you say, man, this storm is not going to slap me to the ground. This storm is going to lift me higher, closer to God. I'm going to be better at the end of this storm, not battered at the end of this storm. Can you say, man, and I'm going to be able to say to others what the psalmist said. Amen. He said, and if you acquaint thyself with Him, get to know this good and great God. Amen. And be at peace, therefore great good shall come unto thee. And it won't just come unto thee, because then thou shalt say unto others, because of what he's done for you, there is lifting up. You mean if I get lifted up, I can be an encouragement to somebody else? Yeah, but until you get lifted up, they're going to see a reflection of their own doubt, their own fear, their own worry, and their own anxiety in us. If you see me toe up from the flow up this morning because of all the troubles we've had and all the troubles that we may have between here and heaven, I can't help you. But if you see me with the victory today, I remember my father-in-law, Floyd Shiver. He was 6'2". How tall are you, Jimmy? Six four. Oh, I wish you would have stood up beside him, because he always looked down on me. I used to tell him, I've always looked up to you. I don't know why you're looking down on me all the time. But I remember, and I'll never forget, my mother-in-law and my father-in-law coming to church, hearing the gospel, and a week later, both of them coming to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, to see what the Lord was able to do in their life and for them. Praise God. God is in the soul saving, and when he does, then he commits himself to us to help us when our troubles come. But he wants us to trust in him. Focus on his goodness. For I'd fainted unless I believed to see it. Focus on his greatness. The mighty God. Hallelujah. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. I will declare his greatness. This word fathom, no one can fathom. It means unsearchable, beyond comprehension or explanation. When we compare anything or anyone to him, there's nothing that is great beside him. A street light is great if you've never seen the sun. If you've never seen the sun and the world was filled with darkness, a street light would be, oh, look at that. Until you see the sun. And the sun in comparison, I thought that was great. Wait till you see this. Put on your sunglasses. Amen. You can't look at this long without going blind. It's so great. There's no comprehension. Why should I worry? Why should I fret? In all things, in prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God with thanksgiving, with that praise and that honor while you're praying. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart and your mind through Jesus Christ. No, you're not stupid. You're not off your rocker when you talk, say something before it happens, because the Word of God has promised it. You are a believer in the Lord Jesus. You're a believer in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you believe God is good enough and God is great enough to handle what you put in his hand. Because if he's great enough and not good enough, he's not going to help you. But if he's good enough and he has the power to help you, he's going to help you. Hallelujah. And it's going to change everything. A lake is great. Wow. If you've never seen the ocean. A firefly is great. If you've never seen the stars. Amen. You're in my troubles are great. Until we see the greatness of God. You can either focus in on him, or you can focus in on him. When I went to Jamaica on a mission trip, several thousand people came to an outdoor meeting. We were beyond electricity. We had used a generator. We were beyond a water supply. I'm sorry, it was Haiti. We went to Jamaica first, Haiti second. We were so far out, we couldn't find pure water. I remember going to a village and a dear lady came out with a basin of pure water, cool water. She had a perfectly, and there was dirt everywhere, and there was just, it was a terrible, hot, humid, and she had folded over her arm it wasn't a towel, it was just a piece of linen, white linen. Looked like it had been ironed, and they had no electricity, but somehow or another, she kept it somewhere special. She brought out to us this basin to refresh ourselves and this towel to pat ourselves dry from. And I thought, Lord, I never felt as unworthy. I didn't feel like some preacher from America. I felt like, Lord, she's blessing us. She has hardly anything, and yet the best she has, she's bringing just to bless us, because we are bringing her a message of hope from Him. And we're showing her love. Actually, we had a lady with us, and she was up in her 80s, and they warned her not to come. You might get overcome by heat. You might have a heat stroke. We went into some bad areas where guys with uniforms and automatic weapons asked to see our credentials, and they could have killed us by the road and robbed us. We don't know if they were military, police, or marauders. And for a while there, we all developed our prayer life in the back of that truck. We were praying earnestly. You know, this is not America. It's dangerous here. Well, it's triple dangerous in Haiti. But God took us through. But we kept looking at that lady, and we thought, what is her ministry? You know, what is she going to do? She can't help build anything. What is her ministry? And I saw it when we got there to where we were to minister, while we were sharing the gospel of Jesus, the goodness of God, the grace of God. She was going out to those people and doing what some people did in here. She gave them that big Jesus hug. She just loved them with the love of the Lord. Can you say, and picked up those babies and loved those babies, and she wasn't even running for office. Can you say, man? She just loved them, and I thought, this is what we're talking the love of God. We're busy talking, preaching, teaching the love of God. She's out there showing the love of God. Amen. Verifying the love of God. But one thing we could teach, and we hugged people too and loved on people, but the greatest thing that we could do is point people to the cross to see how much God loved them. To tell them God sent His only Son to die on that cross just for you. Christians that are on the fence need to get off the fence. Christians who are not focused on the goodness and greatness of God need to regain your focus. Because they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle, lock in. The Bible said of a righteous man, he is not afraid of evil tidings. He's not afraid of the bad news, the terrifying news, the horrible news, the daily news. His heart, like the wings of the eagle. Did you get that? The wings. You got it, didn't you? The wings of a weagle. You were the first one to laugh. You said, boy, that man, he's got a speech impediment just like Moses. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Smiles are good. A few people in here can't do that yet. They've been in church a lot longer than you have, dear sister. Amen. They still haven't found out how good and great God is. They know it up here, but they don't know it in here enough for it to help them through their troubles and their pressures of life. God wants it to get down in your heart. He wants you to know that. Remember when I was talking about Brother Floyd? I got to hurry and close. My watch is upside down. I can't see a thing. I'm sorry. Amen. Listen. At his mother's funeral, his uncle that lived with her passed away. They asked me to do the funeral. They had a church, they had a pastor, but they asked me to do the funeral. I did the funeral. And the mother of this man living with her attended that funeral. And when I started the funeral, I wasn't aware of my countenance. It's a funeral, and there's a lot of people hurting. And I don't tell people, just you know, he's with the Lord, she's with the Lord, just cheer up. No. You know, she's fine. He's fine, but I'm hurting. They're with God, but I'm hurting down here. Well, there's hope for the hurting down here. So when it came time, and when she knew her time was near, she said, when I die, I want that pastor to do my funeral. She went to a large denominational church, Pentecostal church in Lakeland, but she wanted me to do her funeral. And she said, because when he started the funeral, he started it with a smile. But with a smile. Why? Because somebody's dead? No, because the person who died knew Christ is their Savior, and they are with the Lord. And this is a hope that we have. We are not like others who have no hope. So let's don't live like others who have no hope. Can you say, man, let's live like people that are prisoners of hope itself. We're not like others who have no hope. Hallelujah. We live in hope. The hope of God, follow after that hope, for the hope of God maketh not ashamed. For the love of God that gives us that hope is shed abroad. We first receive it because of what he did on the cross, but we begin to actually experience it in our life because it's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Had a funeral director tell me one time, because everyone knew this person was anticipating going to heaven, and they said, the director said, this is more of a celebration. And now I'm hearing that term. We're not here to just mourn a death. We're here to celebrate a life. And to celebrate a hope that death can't conquer. There's nothing like this hope. You can't buy it on the open market. You can't shoot enough drugs into you to get a hold of this peace. But it comes because of this hope that we have. Hallelujah. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. For his heart is fixed, transfixed, like the eagles to the storm. His heart is fixed, what? Trusting in the Lord. For they that trust the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed. For as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, the Lord is round about his people to deliver them. Hallelujah. The angels of the Lord encamp about the righteous to deliver them. Hallelujah. This greatness of God, over and over again, focusing on the greatness of God, will strengthen our faith, defeat our fears, dispel our doubts, and fortify our hope. Over and over again, the Bible makes it clear God's power and love are so expansive, they stand unmatched anywhere and by anyone. Our God is the creator of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth, and all that in them is. And the Bible said we should stand in awe of him. Jeremiah said, Ah, Lord God, that's how they read it. I can't read it that way. Ah, Lord God. Ah, Lord God. Ah. Sound like somebody's looking to see if your tongue is coated, you know, with the tongue depressor. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made heaven and earth by thine right hand, nonchalantly. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made heaven and earth by thine outstretched hand, and there's nothing too hard for you. If that's not too hard, then my problem is not too big. No, that's not how he said it. You know how he said it? Ah, Lord God! How do you know that's how he said it? Because if God is that big, you can't be nonchalant. Well, majority of the church is nonchalant. He's that big, but he's not that good. You see, they have to be married. You can't believe he's got the power and not believe he'll give it to you to help you manifest that power in your behalf. Can't believe he has the love, but he don't have the power. They have to be married. They're like two wings on a plane. Which one you want to fall off? Neither one. It'll crash. It takes both of them to keep it locked. And the law of aerodynamics working. We need to get a vision of the goodness and the greatness of God simultaneously. Hallelujah. I'm going to read this in closing. How many closings is this? Two? Okay, we got four to go. We're almost done. We're almost done, honestly. Listen, have you had Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. That's us. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and even the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Notice he has all this power, all this knowledge, and he gives it to those who need it most and look to him for it. To the weak and the faint-hearted. The Amplified said, they that wait on the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him. Hallelujah. He gives power to the weak. He increases their strength. Hallelujah. Amen. And here's a scripture in closing. This is also the fifth closing. Hebrews 12:12-13. And it sounds like, initially, it's talking about you just always being an encouragement to others. But it's really about you being encouraged first, so that you can be an encouragement to others. If I don't come in here encouraged, I have no expectation of being able to encourage you. Amen? So let's get this scripture right in context. Wherefore, lift up the hands that hang down. Lift up the hands that hang down. Lift up the hands that hang down. Everybody look. I guarantee you, if your hands are hanging down, it's not just gravity pulling you. It's doubt. It's fear. It's worry. It's anxiety that's pulling you down. Lift up the hands. Lift up in praise. Moses stood on a hill watching the battle going on between the enemies of God's people and God's people. A real, literal, physical, hand-to-hand combat battle. And he had his hands raised. Not just his hands raised, it's something in his heart was causing his hands to be raised, and something he was doing while he interceded for Israel. The Hebrew, it said he had his hands raised. In the Chaldee, that was also written, it said he raised his hands in prayer. In prayer. And as long as he interceded, was not weary, was not full of so much fear, why bother praying? Not going to help anyway. It takes energy to pray, and I just don't have the energy or the faith or the hope. As long as his hands were raised, Aaron and Hur were watching. They were standing beside him. And when his hands came down, the enemy prevailed. That's why we're told this morning, those hands that are hanging down, lift them up and strengthen the feeble knee. Amen. You're in a race that you're supposed to be running, not just trying to wait it out till Jesus comes. Somebody needs your encouragement. Somebody needs to see you with the victory you talk about. Somebody sees to need me. Help me out here. Can you be my Aaron this morning? Sees to need. Why is it I'm drawn to you today? Quickest person to smile in the room is not been in church long enough to catch whatever's going around. Hello? Not been in church long enough to catch what must be going around. It's going around. The average Christian can't be the witness they're talking about because they haven't learned to focus on the greatness and the goodness of God. What we state when we pray, when we first learn to pray, God is great, God is good, hallelujah. Over the teeth, through the gums. Oh, now I got some help to preach from my spiritual counterpart. Look out, stomach, here it comes. Okay, I read her lips. You might as well, if you don't know that this is true about God, you might as well to pray over the teeth, through the gums, look out, stomach, here it comes. As God is great and not allow it or realize it. God is good and not be good enough for you to lean on Him, trust in Him, cast your burden on the Lord. I carry burdens to the Lord. You'd think I don't have any. I do. The reason Floyd's mother wanted me to do her funeral, she said, I don't want a bunch, in other words, I don't want a bunch of long faces when I go to heaven. I want them to know that I died in that certain hope of the resurrection. And I want a preacher that preaches that hope with a smile and not a frown. With some conviction and not just reading some scriptures in a little black book that's already set out there. Amen. That he could be convincing to other people of the faith that he's walking in. That's why she wanted me. It's not because I'm a better one. It's not because I'm more educated nor more eloquent. But she recognized I have this hope in me. And it is genuine. It is authentic. It is real. And when the time comes for me to go home, I will die in this hope. And there's no one that can give that to you but God. The God of hope. Everything that was written aforetime was written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the Scripture, we might have hope. Hallelujah. And hope maketh not ashamed. For the love of God that gives us hope is shed abroad in our hearts. God is good by the Holy Spirit. I've got so much help preaching. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wherefore lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame may be turned out of the way. It's all about getting rid of our weariness and getting on with running with perseverance the race. I love this translation. So take a fresh grip on life and brace your trembling limbs. Don't wander away from the path, but forge steadily ahead. On the path that the limping foot recovers strength and does not collapse, so that the limping foot does not struggle and collapse. In other words, there are people going to look to you for inspiration and for encouragement because you're a Christian. And you look at things through a different lens. You look at the trouble of the end times as a sign that your Redeemer is coming soon. You have a heart filled with hope and anticipation. Amen. You look at the trouble that we're in, but you say, but I've got somebody with me. I'm not alone down here on my own. It means for you to make sure that we don't get caught up in the attitude and the atmosphere of the world around us or some Christians around us. There's some people that'll bring you down because they just don't speak any words of encouragement or faith. They just see the problem and they never see the goodness and the greatness of God. But God is great and God is good. And that's what keeps us afloat when this old boat is really under attack of the enemy. And make out a straight, smooth path for your feet so that those who follow you through, though weak and lame, will not fall and hurt themselves but become strong. Amen. Don't just tell them about it. Get a hold of it. And let it get a hold of you. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I wish I could do this for you. I wish I could just infuse it into you. But you have to get in the Word. And you have to get a hold of that brings faith into your life and brings God into focus so that you can appreciate His goodness and His greatness. And other people that need that help. It's not just because you run over there and you're toe up from the floor up attitude and try to tell somebody else what God can do for them. Don't do that. Wait upon the Lord. Start running this race again. Give somebody some real encouragement. Let them see you. That's what this is talking about. So that they don't get more discouraged. Listen, Pastor Venable, poor old Pastor Venable. He's been through the mill. He's cast down. Look at him. Just really pray for him. Pray for him to get the victory. Amen. And by the way, you get some victory. You that are strong, bear the infirmities of the weak. Is there anybody strong, strengthened by the Lord? Are you weak enough? Are you weak enough? To them that hath no might, what does He offer you? Strength. No might. Remember the king in the Old Testament? He said, we have no power. What a bad confession. No, it's getting ready to turn good. But it starts with the acknowledgement of our need. We have no might to go out at an enemy as great as this enemy. We have no might at all. We have no strength. Our army is totally insufficient. But our eyes are on You. Focus. Everybody say focus. Our eyes are on You. The moment He said that, a prophet stood up in the audience and he said, you shall not have to fight hand-to-hand combat with your little old measly army against this great multitude. For the battle is no longer yours, because why? His eyes are on Him. The battle is the Lord's. Hallelujah. And how did God fight it for them? How did He fight it through them? He said, in fact, tell your army to step down. Pull your measly little army they could easily conquer off the battlefield. The people in the temple that are designated every single day to praise God in song. Bring the choir out here. Suddenly there's a bunch of people saying, I'm resigning from the choir. Can you say amen? I do not want to be in the choir any longer. Amen. Tell the choir to go out and stand where your military was standing. With no weapons. No armor. Oh, I don't know if you'll get in this with me. Oh, yes, it's a hard time. We're in the perilous times. We're in the tough times. We're in the anxiety times. The distress of nations with terrible anxiety. We're in the bleak times, the dark times. But Jesus is with us, and our God is for us. I forgot my mic. I was going to drop it. I'll get it next time. Hallelujah. Listen, God is for us, and He's with us today. He's great, and He's good. Hallelujah. Great is the Lord in the midst of thee. Great is the Lord in the midst of thee. Hallelujah. 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 God will take you through. There's so much more to this. Have you got enough to know that God is great and good, and He wants you to focus on His greatness and His goodness? How simple. The beginning of one of the first prayers that even children learn, to pray over food. And yet it's one of the most powerful revelations of God. If we can stay focused, God will lift you up. Your heart will be fixed, trusting in the Lord. Your wings of hope will be locked. And faith, it will be locked, and He will lift you above the storm. Let's listen to this song as we close. The offering would be greatly appreciated at the end of the song. Some of you have already given. We thank You from the bottom of our hearts.